The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number three of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, pardon me, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, still in San Francisco this week. Kelly Bidlin back at the mothership in Las Vegas. Todd Wishnev standing by at the risk of irritating him. Some tweets, Kelly. Patrick
Uh-oh.
Kelly.
Of course there's
a letdown in golf, he says. Finish the round, hit the club, and they tell you there's no Fresca for your favorite Smales cocktail, pardon me, from Caddyshack. Gamar, A-H-H Ruff, on vacation in Portugal, and this shirt had me thinking of a numbers game. Oh, he's got a t-shirt with Schrodinger's cat on there in a box. I love it. Willie B. Betton. Since we're on the topic of music this morning, where can I find the original ANG intro song? Wow. I used to get literal goosebumps when I'd hear that intro coming in. I was really bummed when you guys got rid of it. Wow, that's a long time ago. We don't have that anywhere.
I don't even know what we're talking about here.
Yeah, this was way before you.
As long as I've been at VSiN, it's been the current music.
Chris Heath, 8 days ago, I took the Red Sox to win the AL pennant at 33-1 to cure my monthly wins FOMO. They are now plus 950. Let's go, Chris Heath. Let's get that done. And then Indiana Jet, Grand Theft Auto 6 comes out November 19th. If you don't know what that is, it's one of the most anticipated video games ever. In other words, expect another late season Kyler Murray implosion. I don't think I followed that tweet.
You clearly were not a part of the Grand Theft Auto chat that was occurring on Twitter yesterday.
Apparently, it was sparked by me saying Tony Sirianni sparked that.
Then it was myself and Chance, and I don't know everybody else that lives in Todd Wishnev's Discord. Ladies and gentlemen,
the star of Todd Wishnev's Discord, Todd Wishnev, the star of Wishnev Wednesdays, the star of the Showtime docuseries Action, and of course the Megapod, joins us now from Pittsburgh, PA, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Toddy, what's happening?
What's up, Gilly? How are you? I just want to talk about the theme song for the great 60s show, Hogan's Heroes. It was fantastic, and it gave me goosebumps every day when I would listen to it. Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
That is Todd's way of saying he's more important than anything else we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen. That's me translating Toddy's for the listening audience.
That I would have Todd, to say it this sad.
You always have to have the last word, don't you? I noticed that about you. Todd, have you stopped leaning over the counter at Chipotle's? I was always wondering to ask you this. Have you realized that no one else leans over the counter at Chipotle's? It's just you.
I'm not even going to. First of all, there's a counter there. Okay. You're supposed to lean on it. That's the point.
Okay. WNBA. No one watches this more closely than you do. Which we appreciate very much, because that is, along with baseball, you talk about and bet WNBA games on the Discord when you're not doing college basketball season, that is. You have a couple season win totals
heater
for us.
I'm on a WNBA heater right now. Got it up to about plus 13 units for the season. First of all, throw away all the politics, because, you know, everybody wants to politicize everything in this country today. Forget the politics. The games are good because the girls try. Now, you can watch, you know, wintertime, November 19th, Sixers versus the Raptors. Are you really getting 100% effort from everybody? Is everybody going 110%? They always used to say the NBA, you know, everyone's coasting for a while. There's no coasting in the WNBA. It's prison ball from the get-go. These girls are hardcore, and they play hard, and that's what I love about it. It reminds me of college basketball. Everyone's trying every night.
And I know that that's why you love college basketball men's college basketball over the pro game. So this is consistent. What are the two adjusted season wins that you love right now?
Okay, I don't know. Let's talk. Love is a very strong word. I made two small bets. So I would say I like them. I don't know if I love them. But I do them. I looked at the Dream, the Atlanta Dream. Well, you know, let's be accurate. The Atlanta Dream is 27.5. They got 16. They're 16-10 right now. Their over-under is 27.5. I like the under on this team. Something's wrong. Ryan Howard, who's the superstar, she just doesn't get into the game. Like, I mean, she's in the game, but she just doesn't take over as a superstar should. And now they got Bree Jones back, but I don't even know if that's going to make such a big difference. I just, there's something wrong with this team. Now, you know, what's it called, who everyone loves to hate, the big rebounder girl, Rodman, in the middle for the Dream, Reese. She's been a good addition. She really has played well, but I just don't think they have enough to win another 12 games out of the 18 left. I think they're probably going to go 11-7, and that would leave them at 27. So I like the under for the Dreamies. And then it's only -105. Also, the Sky. I love this girl, Sydney Taylor, on the Sky. It's unbelievable that this girl is not like a starter or a superstar. This girl is so fast. She blows by people, and they're not even standing. They're almost like Olivia Miles on the links. And she can shoot threes. She's really, really good. They take her out all the time because the Sky have 8 million guards, and they have Skylar Diggins on the bench. So I don't know how they're going to play all these people. There's too many guards. They need to trade a guard because she needs to get more time. She's been getting more time lately because Diggins has been out. And I've been playing her points, props, points over, and been pretty much successful with that. But anyways, looking at the Sky, they have 9 wins. I think they can get to 17. They're over 16.5 +120, I saw. So you're getting plus money if they can get you 9 more wins. And I looked at the schedule. It's not that tough. They're playing people tough. They almost beat the Dream the other night in Atlanta. I just think that they can get 17 wins, the Sky. So those are my two that I liked and I played a little bit on. And then also I played the Defensive Player of the Year, also small. Before it was Asia Wilson by like a million. It was like -400, -300, something like that. Now it's all of a sudden it's gone to Gabby Williams as a short shot at +130. And I think she'll probably win just because the narrative is going to be the Valkyries is this amazing defensive team. By the way, if you don't watch the WNBA, the Valkyries are the defensive juggernaut of this. First of all, they play slow. That's number one. But on top of that, the defensive efficiency is incredible. I mean, they just lock you down on defense. And Gabby Williams is their best player on defense. So she's probably, I think, you know, if all the odds are moving toward her being the short shot now, I kind of think that's probably worth it, Gabby Williams, to win Defensive Player of the Year.
I love how much you're into this league. I really do. Like, you are
so good.
Totally locked in.
Well, I got to be into something that Major League Baseball, I was up 35 units, and now I'm down 15 units. I'm getting my head caved in this stupidity. So I got to have something to win at.
So just in case anybody thought that Todd doesn't lose in anything, there you go. Major League Baseball took a downturn. Can you attribute that to anything specific or just how it is?
I don't know. I don't know. It's Major League Baseball always gets me for some reason. I don't know what it is. I don't know. It could turn around, of course. I mean, there's been just a lot of bad beats, but, you know, it's MLB. You never know. I mean, I've had runs of 30 units plus a couple of times. So, you know, you never know.
You never know. That's true. Back to the WNBA. How about some games today? Sky Liberty. What's your thought on that?
Yeah, there's a ton of ball games today. I think there's 6 games today. The Sky, again, have been really tricky to play against these teams. So, you know, I don't know that I'm going to play it yet. But if I'll give you an example. The other night against the Dream, it was a 62-61 going to the fourth quarter. I believe there were about 8.5 point dogs pregame. They're 7.5 point dogs at the Liberty tonight. So it's kind of similar. And they were getting 6.5 going to the fourth quarter. And they had been down at halftime by like 14 points. So they had made a nice run. And to me, it just didn't look like the Dream were going to be able to stop them. So I took them. And of course, it ended up being a 2-point game. So that was a nice winner. But, you know, if the Liberty has been very disinterested this year, there's something wrong with this team. And I can't put my finger on exactly what it is, but they're up and down. They're really tough to figure out. Would not be shocked if the Sky hung with them today. But the other game that I really wanted to talk about was the Lynx against the Storm. Minnesota Lynx bring back Nafisa Collier, the superstar today. Ooh. For her first game. She's been out all year. Interestingly enough, the Lynx have been getting all this press because of Olivia Miles has been the rookie. Has been amazing. She really is amazing. She's like this little jitterbug guard who just, you can't stop her. Anyways, they've been 0-8 against the spread the last 8 games. However, been getting their team total a lot. So it's been mostly on the defensive end that they've been giving up too many points, but they almost always get their team total, even when they don't cover the spread. Now they're going to play the Storm again. They just played them 105-102 in Seattle the other day, and now they're playing them again with Nafisa. The team total for Minnesota is 94.5. Now, the thing to be careful is the Fezzik curse. Fezzik doesn't like when basketball players get up in the morning and it's too early. If it's too early, yeah. He likes unders. And I have to say he's on to something with that, because from time to time, you see these 12 o'clock starts, 11 a.m. starts in college basketball, and the teams haven't gotten out of bed yet. Now, is that going to happen here in the WNBA today? You say, well, it's a 3 p.m. start. Well, in Seattle, you have to subtract 3 hours, folks, if you're playing the time zones correctly. In Seattle, it's only noon. So what I may do in that game is watch a little bit and see if there's going to be the fast-paced typical game. If it is, then maybe I'll jump in with some team total Minnesota. Also, I'd like to see how Collier gets in with the rest of the offense now, because she's never played with Olivia Miles.
And last thing, 15 seconds. Caitlin Clark, 2 games removed from a 45-10. First time in WNBA history that you had a 40-point double-double. You think the Fever might go crazy today offensively against the Sun?
Well, at home, they're really good. They're really good on offense at home. And if the pace is up, they'll probably score a ton today, you know, you would think.
Okay. I like your use of ton and millions, you know, very technical terms, very, very precise.
Yeah.
Thank you, Toddy.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
And the Fezzik curse. What about the Fezzik curse?
That extra points for that. Somebody called it on Twitter earlier that you're going to bring that up. Thank you, Toddy. Todd Wishnev, everybody.
Thank you.
To the end. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NFL preseason is only a couple weeks away, and the smart money's already moving lines. Lock in our football special for just $175 before the price goes up next month. You'll get instant access to the VSiN NFL betting guide to help you attack futures, win totals, and player props. Plus, we're including the new Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide with over 425 player profiles, projections, and rankings to help you prep for your fantasy draft. How about that? Sign up now and you'll get full VSiN Pro access across every sport through the Super Bowl. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits for DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Kelly, as the show has been going on this morning, I have been sweating tennis matches. This is one of these great examples of a day where you had 5 plays.
Yep.
The first 2 lost, the second of which on the Bedosa one, which is just like, you're like, you know, to use Todd Wishnev's language, 0 for a million on break points, right? And you're like, I got 3 more matches. These are all going to be sweats. I'm already 0-2. And then, what do you know? Buruchaga over a $2 dog wins. Karaeva as a plus 147 dog wins.
Buruchaga.
Oh, yeah, we're home on both days.
Yes.
And now if we can get Molcan, it ends up being a pretty darn good day in the end at 3-2 with 2 big dogs in there. So we'll see. Molcan is not done yet, though. Molcan is on serve late against Altmaier. So in the end, it's just one of those. It's like a game you're betting on where your team looks bad, bad, bad the whole way. And then they finally get the win at the end. You're like, oh, that was not enjoyable.
Right. That's yeah, exactly. Right, had to sweat that out. Yeah. It's well, Gil, you're welcome. You're welcome. If I didn't start that Buruchaga thing clearly in the first segment, it would have never gotten home. Clearly.
That's what did
obviously.
It. Yeah. All is well that ends well. Let's go, Molcan, get that home. Last thing, Kelly, because we'll get back to the NFC North for a second. I kind of put you up against the wall on this. You did end up with a bet on the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, well, you know, we talked win totals a couple weeks ago, and I know I put the Minnesota one out there as I was kind of leaning that way, and I still do. I think just breaking down that schedule more, I think there's entry points in season to get involved with that. So I'm going to wait on that. The Bears, I didn't know how I was going to handle this offseason. I really honestly didn't know if I was going to end up on a bet, but you set it up perfectly. And we heard from Aaron Schatz as well, right? I think major concerns on this defense. Yes, a lot of those things that they were able to accomplish and do so well last season, you would expect some regression in absolutely with the turnovers, right? We talk about that every single year. So, Bears, I think they are one of these teams. We talked about this the other day with, like, Washington, another good example. I think you're looking probably alt overs, alt unders with this team. Maybe you really believe in this defense and this offense. I believe in. I believe in Caleb Williams. I believe in Ben Johnson. I believe in what they're doing there. I think they've got some great pieces around him. I don't know if I believe in the defense. So I'm going to take that out of the equation. I made this same bet with the Cowboys last year. Love the books that have these up where you can just isolate betting an over under on the offense. That, basically, that's what this is. Over 415.5 points scored throughout the season by the Bears. So, you know, one of the big ones here for me, Gil, is just immediately last year, what does Ben Johnson bring to the table? It's that pace. It's second in plays per run per game for this Chicago unit. I don't think that's something that we're really going to see change up this year. Add on 9th in points per game and yards per play. I think you got a powerful offense with a lot of good weapons returning here. So I'm just going to take the defense out of the equation here as far as a win total bet and bet that over total points scored market.
Yeah, I mean, I do think the defense and the defense stinking will have a lot to help your bet right along as well. Right. I think the offense will be on the field. And I do think Caleb Williams gets 4,000 yards passing along the way. So again, you can say this about any team in any sport, but specifically in the NFC North, again, we talked about it. For the Vikings to do well, you know, the Vikings defense has to maintain some level of excellence and things have to break right for Kyler Murray. For the Bears, the defense ideally won't suck atrociously, right? They'll just kind of be bad and it will help the offense that much more. And for the Packers, God, the injuries, right? You just got to avoid the injuries. Then maybe you can improve on you're just sliding into the playoffs as a 7th seed. It still comes down to the Lions for me as the best team in this division though. And they are lined as such, right? They're 10.5 is their season win total. Their over is slightly juiced. By the way, the Packers are 10.5, but the under is massively juiced. With the Lions, 31 missed games last year among week one starters in the secondary. But a great schedule this year. They'll be favored in around 13 to 14 of their scheduled games because they get a fourth place schedule. They finished in last place technically last year, even though they had the same record as the Vikings. They end up as the fourth place team. So they end up playing the Titans and the Giants and the Cardinals. I mean, there's a lot of cake on that schedule. They have the 6th easiest projected schedule by DVOA, while every other NFC North team has a top half of the league schedule. And again, they finished in last place last year, recording the best points differential in the division. The only other time that that's happened since 1990 was the 2022 Saints in a much murkier NFC South. So what changed last year? Remember, they went with John Morton as their offensive mm-hmm. coordinator after Ben Johnson left. The stats were still kind of good, but they just had no explosive plays, like really very few explosive plays. And then when Campbell took over, that's the part that actually improved. It wasn't really the overall numbers. It was those explosive plays that improved. And so now they're going with Drew Petzing as their new offensive coordinator. And they're going to hope that he can sort of capture what Campbell did last year and some of what Ben Johnson did before. Defensively, a lot of turnover. Kirby Joseph hurt his knee in week 6. Brian Branch tore his Achilles. So those guys, we don't know what their situation is with their injuries. And obviously, Terrion Arnold is gone. And I think that's addition by subtraction because no more of those yellow flags all over the field. I guess what I'm saying with all of this is while all those other teams, you have to have a sentence where it's like, okay, if this happens and if right. this happens and if this happens, then it's great. I think it's less of that with the Lions, right? Because it's set up so beautifully for them.
I think it's completely fair, Gil. I was waiting, I think, in the back of my mind that we all knew, right? You and I were talking about this in the playoffs last year. I'm just like, oh, watch out for the Lions over on their win total, right? Yeah. They're going to be the last place team. The schedule's going to set up easy. I think over the past couple months, I've been waiting for a point where I thought the Lions' love had gotten to be too much. But man, it's just, I think you said everything well, and I can't disagree yeah. with any of it. I think there's not a ton of questions. You know what you're going to get. And the schedule, right? It's just, yes, the division games are brutal, but then it's New Orleans at home week 1. Whatever you think about the Saints this season, cool. I don't know if they're going to be ready for week one at, on the road at Detroit to look like one of the better NFC teams, right? I think maybe if you do, maybe you could say you'd rather not face them later in the year. I can get on board with that. You got the Jets at home. You're at Carolina. You're at Arizona. You're at Miami. You got Tennessee, and you got the Giants at home. Like, that is, this is what a fourth place schedule looks like, right?
It's what a fourth place schedule looks like. And, you know, remember last year, it was the surprise retirement on the offensive line in the offseason, and they struggled, right? The Lions had to really, and they had injuries on the offensive line. So, and we know what the story is with Jared Goff, right? He's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL when he has no pressure. And as soon as there's pressure, he becomes one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. That's just him. That will always be him. So now they've had some time. You know, they were caught off guard last year with was it Rangione who retired? I'm forgetting.
Ragnow.
Ragnow. I'm sorry, what did I say? Rangione. Ragnow retired. Frank Ragnow. He retired. And so they kind of had to scramble from there, and then the injuries compounded it. So I think they've got space from that now. They've addressed it to some degree. So that's a big deal for them as well. Any division wins bets? I know you had some clever ones yesterday.
Man, this one's tougher. The great market by DraftKings, this division to me is the best in the NFL. Part of the reason why I'm not rushing for any of those over on the win totals or a bet in the division here. And I think that would apply to these division wins as well, right? I don't even know what my favorite is. I don't even know if I have a favorite.
If I asked you, we didn't do this with the NFC East, but I guess we could do it now. Let's do an exacta. Let's do a 1-2-3-4 exacta. NFC East, since we did it yesterday, I will go Eagles, Cowboys, Commanders, Giants, which is probably the chalk. I just feel like it'll go that way. You?
For the East? I'm sorry. I was focusing on the North.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do the East.
Yeah, I will go, man. Yeah, I think it's really Eagles, Cowboys, Commanders, Giants.
Be nice.
I was gonna be cute just to mix it up, but it's just
I agree with that.
We went through this in North. A lot of detail. I think there is multiple teams here, Cowboys, Commanders, Giants, that could swing well above or well below their win total. But I think a lot of that's gonna depend on injuries, and it's hard to project that right now.
And in the North, I'm going Lions, Packers, Bears, Vikings. I just think the Lions are going to be the best. I think the Packers, once they get players back, will be fine. I just think the Bears defense stinks too bad. And the Vikings, I don't know, man. I just feel like the Vikings, it's not a good reason, but I feel like something goes wrong.
All right, here's a fun one for you. Lions, Vikings, Bears, Packers, Packers last with 8 wins.
Wow. Okay. It could break that way. And last with 8 wins ain't the worst thing in the world. It is for their playoff hopes.
Right. Yeah. I had to say,
doesn't mean they had
part.
A sucky. Yeah. Should be. Can't wait for football, man. Circa Survivor, the guys behind the documentary, which premieres 3rd season tonight. Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back. Glad to have you watching this show.
We're back, baby.
We're so back.
It's the greatest $1,000 you could spend.
We've grown almost $11 million in contest entries over the last 2 years.
Millions of dollars on the line for these people.
This year's a little different. A high stakes Circus Survivor.
I'm taking a big swing. I'm going all in.
This is where the money's at.
The premiere is tonight, the 3rd season, the 3rd go-round of the Circa Survivor doc, really recounting the amazing $18.7 million grand prize of Circa Classic, the Survivor Classic contest last year, and of course the debut of Circa Grandissimo. And to discuss the doc, which premieres tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, the two guys behind this, Stephen Shalansky and James Farah, gentlemen. Thanks for being on the show. Appreciate it. It's an exciting day for you.
Yes, a very big day. Thanks for having us.
Appreciate you guys having us. And Gil, just want to come out of the gate, say thank you. Thank you to VSiN. all the talent that's been on the show for three seasons now, 9.2 million, 14.2 million, and 18.7. It's been quite a ride. So thank you guys.
And listen, we got a glimpse there. Stormy Bonatoni, the lovely Stormy Bonatoni featured, the equally lovely Mike Somich there, Matt Brown serving as sort of narrator through the series. Let me just start with this. Has this continued to be exciting for you guys? Has this in any way gotten, you know, have you started to get used to this, or do you still take a step back and say, this contest is as amazing as ever and even better every year?
No, I would definitely say it gets better every year because the contest grows every year. It gets more dynamic every year. The news spreads, and every year we get to meet so many new people. I mean, part of the joy of all of this is meeting all the contestants, getting to know them, following them throughout the year, and then seeing where it boils down to the very finish line. So it's always a source of constant amazement, and it does get better every year for us.
James, I'm curious, was there a specific story in the last couple years, or maybe it's starting with the premiere tonight in season three of this, maybe it's one of these storylines this year, a storyline of any contestant that stands above the rest?
Yeah, there are several characters that do such a great job, you know, not only showing up and telling us their story and you know, letting us pull back the curtain a little bit, go behind the scenes with them, but there's so many characters that have amazing stories, right? This is life-changing money. This is, you know, the sweat is real every week. And to see that, to dive into that, particularly later on in the season, you know, you get through the holidays or you get to the holidays and if you get through it, then what's your story, right? Because as we know at Thanksgiving this year, I think it went from 900 down to 49 or 48, something like that, right? 49. So seeing that happen, your ticket went from $20,000 to hundreds of thousands of dollars overnight. And then, you know, that's when the story got good, if you will. So there's so many storylines, so many characters. We're just excited to roll this thing out, tell the story from start to finish. And, you know, like I said, pull the curtain back and really go behind the scenes of the show and of this contest.
There's so many little quirks to this. I mean, what's more amazing to you? The person who gets really far and decides not to hedge at all. I know we've seen that in the past, which is pretty incredible. The people who fail to even submit, have you guys ever thought to go down that road at all in any of this?
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about that. Maybe maybe next year we'll explore that a little bit. I mean, it's hard because, as you know, there's just so much to cover. And as the contest grows, there's more and more people. We try and cast as wide a net as possible to get as more contestants into the show. And then with Grandissimo, a whole nother complete, you know, huge element, a subset within the Survivor show that one day or maybe next year, we'll try and focus on the no picks and just see what the story is behind that, because that is a fascinating dynamic. I mean, it's crazy that this continues to happen every year, but it's, you know, it's one of the elements of the contest.
Yeah, it's incredible. So it airs a season three tonight, episode number one of Circa Survivor. The quest for $18.7 million. So this is its own standalone season. But episode one, 9 p.m. Eastern, where can folks see it tonight? Where might they be able to see it moving forward?
So we have some really exciting updates on that. Obviously on VSiN, 9 o'clock tonight, as you mentioned. It'll be on YouTube. It'll be on socials. We're also rolling it out on some other networks as well. NESN airing it today. In Boston, MSG, in New York City, Game Plus in Canada. So we have some really exciting developments and distribution updates.
That's awesome.
You know, so a lot of eyes are going to be on this contest and this season, and we can't wait to see the impact that it has on the 2026, you know, the quest for 20 million plus. It's really, really exciting to see.
And for sure. Can I also give a shout out? This is, you know, this is just for the body of work that you guys have done in two previous seasons and then in this one moving forward. But can we give a shout out to the late, great Dave Sharapan, who was a friend to so many? I didn't know him as well as others did. But I have to wonder that when you guys as documentarians, when you guys are leaning on folks to sort of be the thread that keeps this going, obviously the stars are the contestants themselves. But you do need, beyond Matt's very, very good narration of it, you do need people chiming in on things. Was there anyone better than Sharapan? Was he like your most favorite go-to guy in all of this?
Dave was our, Stephen can say something too, but on this topic, but Dave Sharapan was the absolute OG. He was the absolute best at explaining things, making people understand, breaking things down from a week-to-week basis, from a dollar standpoint. Dave was the best. We actually have a tribute to him in this season, which means a lot to us. And Dave is sorely missed for a lot of reasons. Great guy.
Absolutely. He was fantastic. And he was such a bridge. You know, as you mentioned, Gil, he was a thread because he worked on the business side in the sports betting world. But he was also such a regular guy that everybody just embraced him. And he could explain things like nobody else. He could put things in simple terms. He was just fantastic. And he was so, you know, such a great asset for the show. And
his wardrobe. Talk about fantastic.
And his wardrobe. Yes.
What a character. And his wardrobe. He was such a great guy.
By the way, I had no idea you guys were spending some time doing a tribute to him. So I'm glad I brought him up. That's great to hear because he's sorely missed by so many. And he was such a great part of this documentary. Derek Stevens, obviously, just making this the biggest contest there ever has been. I know as the world goes on now, there's whiffs of competition, but this is the OG and this is the one that really set the bar. And he deserves all the credit in the world for this. Do you anticipate doing this in perpetuity as long as this contest exists? Or do you think you'll get to the point where it's like, oh, we can't do this anymore. It's been too many years of doing this.
That's a great question. We've already started filming for next season for, you know, the $20 million season, whatever that number is going to end up being, the quest for $22 million, $23 million, whatever it may end up being. You know, depending on the exact format, how many episodes we're going to do, exactly how it's going to roll out. We don't know that yet because there's no season yet. But yes, these first three seasons have been just a thrill, right? 9.2 million, 14.2 million, 18.7. You touched on it earlier. It gets bigger every year. We already know 2026 is going to get bigger. We're going to film it in some capacity. What we're going to do with it, we don't quite know yet. But we are, thrilled to be along for the ride. Derek, the Circus Sports team, the access that we get and the story that we can tell, all credit goes to them because without them, there is no contest. So absolutely love everything about this project.
Yeah, I would say that, the show and the contest have become like symbiotic because we released the show this time of year to help with get people excited about coming to Circa to sign up. This is the OG. You know, I don't care if any other, people are trying to duplicate it or replicate it. This is the OG. That's the best. We do think, and hopefully everybody who sees this this season will agree, the show is just getting better every year. So season three is fantastic. Of course, I'm a little biased, but yeah, we plan on continuing doing this. It may, as James was saying, it may take a different shape in season four, season five down the road because we want to, at least keep it fresh to some degree. So what that ends up being, we'll figure that out along the way. But yeah, we plan on keeping this going and keeping the contest going.
Last thing, because we only have 30 seconds left, this was the first year that we had Circa Grandissimo, $100,000 entry for a Survivor contest, for those who don't know. Were those participants more open, as open, or less open than the Survivor Classic contestants, would you say?
Totally depended, on the participant themselves. Some of them were all about it. Some of them came down on a weekly basis and filmed with us. Other ones said, no thanks. We'll kind of see how it plays out. What we did dive into quite a bit was the strategy of Circa Grandissimo versus Circa Survivor, looking at the picks, knowing that Grandissimo likely wasn't going to make it all the way to the finish line where Survivor traditionally does. So we dove into that in a good way and got some great takes from the characters.
Stephen Shalansky, James Farah, it's the Circus Sports Survivor documentary, The Quest for $18.7 million, premiering 9 p.m. Eastern tonight at VSiN and elsewhere. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Gil.
Thank you.
Sports Betting Network.
Winners Circle Proxy and VSiN are giving away two incredible prize packages that'll put two lucky fans into the world's biggest football contests for free. One winner will receive a $1,000 entry into Circa Survivor, and another will win a $1,000 entry into Circa Million. Both winners will also receive a full season Winner Circle proxy service, a VSiN studio tour, and a free month of VSiN Pro. No telling if Kelly Bidlin will be in studio when you get said tour. Enter by Sunday, August 2nd for your chance to win. Visit winnercircleproxy.com/VSiN to enter today. That's winnercircleproxy.com/VSiN. We get tweets. Beating the book, Andrew Rohan. He's got a 60-1 on the Red Sox. Most wins in July. Let's go, Andrew. And let's go, Sox. A little more than a half hour from now, 45 minutes from now, game one of the day-night doubleheader, Sox and Birds. Let's go, Sox. Las Vegas 514. They're going for their 15th win in a row, franchise tying. 15th win in a row, a franchise that is in its 126th year.
Can we talk more about that for a second? Just a second. Are you not shocked by that? That they haven't won 15 games in a row at some point? 16 games in a row, I guess I should say.
You know what? On the one hand, I want to answer yes to that. On the other hand, 15 is a ton of ball games.
Yeah,
man.
I know.
And you're talking about a tenth of your 10% of your schedule, right? At any point, it's almost exactly 10% of your schedule to, you know, it's like the Price is Right rangefinder thing. It's like to have precisely 15 in a row where you win all of them is still a pretty amazing feat. I remember that. Remember when Jason Giambi and the A's won 20 in a row that one year? I mean, it's just off the charts ridiculous.
Like,
didn't the Guardians, I think there were the Indians at the time, didn't they have some massive streak at one point?
Yeah.
These are really tough.
Now I'm kind of curious about, like, I want to know what what's the shortest, what's the least amount of games for a franchise's longest winning streak? You know what I mean? Like, is the Marlins like five? You know what I mean? That's what I want to know. Is that it feels like almost everybody would have to be in double digits at some point, except for the newer franchises like you brought up, right?
Yeah. I'm gonna actually chat GPT this right now.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
And let's see what we come up with. Let's see. Yeah, the Guardians, the one I remember, Guardians won 22 in a row back in 2017. Let's see. I don't know. Here we go. Each MLB franchise's longest winning streak. You ready, Kelly?
Boom. Yeah. Wow, I see it too. From 2 days ago, the article by MLB.com.
From 2 days ago, I guess this was inspired by the Red Sox. The lowest is the Angels. The Angels have only had, are you ready for this, in their history, an 11-game winning streak at the most. That's the answer. Wow.
Wow.
Oh, and the Blue Jays, 11 five different times.
No, I see Marlins 9.
Oh, I haven't. Did I miss the Marlins 9?
Yeah, thanks. These aren't ordered anything.
You're right. By the way, the Mets 11 five times. I'm surprised the Mets have only had an 11 five times. You're right. But the Marlins and the Nationals. Well, I guess the Nationals goes back to the Expos, though. So the Marlins 9 is actually the lowest. The Nationals 10 is the next lowest. There's your answer.
And yes, the Marlins have done that. What did it say? Five times. The Nationals have done that five times. So, OK.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's 11 is a pretty popular number. Rockies did 11 as their longest also. But yeah, I mean, it's tough to put together more than that. I mean, that's a lot of games for everything to just break your way. Anyway, Red Sox, most wins in July, 80-1. If they get a split today against the Orioles, let's forget about the history. If they get a split, our magic number, no matter what else happens in the league, is five. Five Red Sox wins over the last 8, 5-3 if they get a split today, and we are winners. And of those remaining 8 games, 4 would be against the July worst Athletics. I was about to say Oakland. I was about to say Sacramento. I forgot. It's just Athletics. So there you go. Just don't get swept today.
Hey,
just get the record in the morning.
DraftKings is they waved the white flag, man. They're not posting odds anymore.
What do you mean?
There's no odds, adjusted, right, Dave? We got no adjusted odds for the month anymore. So they have officially waved the white flag and said, we are out.
By the way, before we get to Kelly's, tennis is complete for the day. We ended up with a heck of a day in the end. 3-2. 3-2 that featured a +210 dog and a +147 dog. The winners being Burruchaga on the men's side, Karaeva on the lady side at plus 147. Also hit Alex Molcan as a minus 130 favorite. Those are the winners. And those came after the two losers in the overnight, which was Rinderknecht before we even got on air. And then the one that we probably deserved better on was Katarzyna Kawa, who went a ridiculous 0-9 in the first set on break points. And then I think I quoted whatever the rest was. It was just still a horrible break point record in that game. So another winning day in tennis, 3-2 with two big dogs. We'll take it every time.
We go,
Kelly, man. NBA.
Burachaga. Win totals for me. Jazz over 35.5. Talked about that yesterday. And then today adds for me Rockets over 47.5 wins. Pistons under 50.5 wins. Might be adding more, but going to wait for more books to post. Only Boyd here in Vegas with them up currently. One NFL futures ad for me, Chicago Bears over 415.5 points scored during the regular season. And then golf real quick. Outrights at the 3M Open. Tom Kim, 35-1. Max Homa, 55-1. Johnny Kiefer, 70-1. Ben Coles, 70-1. Top 10s on all those guys as well, and a top 20 on Mr. Maxwell Homa.
Yeah, and again, with tennis, remember, because all these tournaments are in Europe, the time zone is just not going to work out. So again, tomorrow's plays will be posted at VSiN.com/picks for Survivor, for subscribers, also for survivors, but mainly for subscribers is what I meant, on the website. And it pays to subscribe. Once again, VSiN.com/picks. You'll get all of them in due time. Anything that hasn't started before the show tomorrow, we will let you know on air. Will Hill on the show, Pirates today, plus 1.5 at the Yankees, game 2 of the doubleheader. Padres, minus 103 at the Braves. Phillies, Dodgers, over 9.5. Falcons to win the NFC South at plus 425. Vikings to win the NFC North, Homer, plus 510. Bills to win the AFC East, minus 125. Will came out firing today. Also hit that trivia question.
We are so
Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, he did a great job with that. So far, Will Hill has been, we are in lockstep with division picks so far. It's kind of, he had talked last week with Dustin and myself about the NFC ones. I didn't know he added the Bills. So I might be liking his NFC picks, but he liked my AFC picks.
And you like the Vikings to win the division? You like that one?
If I had to bet a team today, it would be the longer shot Vikings.
Nick Whalen, host of Prop Points, which comes on here at the top of the hour in just about 7 minutes. Bulls over 24.5 wins, a bunch of NBA season win totals. Bulls over 24.5. Mavs over 34.5. Cavs over 48.5. Pelicans under 27.5 wins, and the Kings under 22.5 wins. I agree with him. It could be a long season in Sacktown.
Todd Wishnev, by the way. They just want to have a professional basketball team. That's what it feels like.
It's all they want.
Hey, just get one guy on the team that could score and yeah, light the beam.
Yeah. We get tweets of beating the book, Mr. Masterline. No one named Todd likes to be called Toddy. Trust me on that one. Oh, Todd Wishnev does. Trust me, he does. Las Vegas 514, yo, LeBron is not picking a team. He is choosing a new fandom to emotionally ruin. LeBron's next team logo should be a suitcase. Did I mention that I can't stand this guy? There you go. That's definitely not Chris Foster who tweeted that in. Let's see. Minky Monkey Man. Tend to agree with the numbers game staff that the original is better than the cover, but with respect to Roberta Flack and Lauryn Hill and the Fugees, Killing Me Softly is a bigger banger. Let me just suggest to all of you that the best version of Killing Me Softly is from Al B. Sure. What do you know about that, Kelly? What do you know about that?
Nada.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nada. And then Pat Monafort, because I read one of his tweets earlier about hard courts and clay courts yesterday in tennis. He said, thanks for reading that on air. My kids were stoked as a numbers game is part of the daily D-Gen daddy education. There you go. We're educating the kids in the car, Kelly.
That's great. That's great.
Reading his tweets. Oh, and then Tim Bowers, and I'm so glad that the documentarians that we just had on, James Farah and Stephen Shalansky, thanks to both of them for coming on the show. The premiere of the Survivor doc is tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern. Tim Bowers said, thanks for bringing up Dave Sherapan today. He was one of the best parts of the documentary, and I'm so glad to hear that those two guys thought to pay tribute to Sherapan in there as well, so we can look forward to that as part of the doc.
100%.
Yeah. All right. And by the way, Game Plus, what did they say? They got some Nesson in there.
MSG. Yeah. Some regional sports networks picking it up. It's great, man. It's great.
Good for them. Good for them. We've done all we can do. Kelly, another bang up job. Tomorrow, Zach and Crack. That's right. Bill Krakenberger in studio, despite the fact that I'm here. Kelly will sit in with him as well. So be unscripted with the Crack Man. We will do that and so much more. Prop Points is next. Jeff Erickson, Nick Whalen, enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.